Here on Commuter Radio Kilkenny Seat, we're proud to say that we're the only radio station in Ireland with a regular astronomy slot. And today we're looking back at what has been an extraordinary few weeks for stargazers. We've had the solar eclipse, the Perseid meteor showers, and now we're looking ahead to a spectacular lunar eclipse. There's also a very special star appearing close to the moon this week, and the race to return to the moon is gathering pace. And to joining me, as always, is David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. David, great to have you. Great to have you on CRKC, and I know you're like a dog. You're like a dog waiting to get out of the traps. I know well you are. Evening to you.
Good evening, and what an incredible month so far. And for a lot of people, the excitement ended last Wednesday, but it's only really beginning.
Yeah.
This is the first of two eclipses this month. And we had the biggest meteor shower of the year. So, you know, a lot of media were saying there isn't going to be a better eclipse, or there isn't going to be another eclipse. If they said better, that would have been okay.
Yeah.
But they were saying another eclipse until 2090.
No,
Not at all.
And we
there's
get
another one this month.
We'll get
the partial next year.
And we're going to come to all of this. But let's start with the big one, David, because we all saw it last Wednesday. For example, my wife works... Wait for this. My wife works in a pharmacy, and she could have taken in the whole week's takings, the amount of people that came in looking for glasses, to look at the solar eclipse. If they had sold them in the chemist, they'd have been just sold out in no time. But and we're going to come to your thing about the glasses shortly. But there was huge excitement around Ireland, also absolute chaos trying to get hold of eclipse glasses, with queues literally stretching out of shops and into Carrick's. What was the experience of the build-up on the day itself? Let's start with the build-up, first of all, David, and your experience with the glasses and all of that. Tell us all.
Well, about 2 months to go, we were surprised at the number of people ordering eclipse glasses from us. And it was really people planning to go to Spain, so they wanted them in plenty of time. They'd already booked their holiday. You better get on and book the eclipse glasses. And we thought, okay, well, there's a lot of people going. That makes sense. But it just kept getting bigger and bigger. About 2 weeks before the event, I had an interview with the Irish Times, which they didn't publish for about a week. And when that happened, it just went ballistic. The number of orders that we were getting went from about 50 or 60 a day up to around 800 was the peak a day. But we're a voluntary organization. We're not really a shop. And we could not cope with that. So we put out a huge call to all of our members. And we spent most of the previous weekend till 2 o'clock in the morning packing orders for people all around the country. It turned out, as happened in 1999, Astronomy Ireland was the only place that thought to pre-order eclipse glasses. Unfortunately, one of our suppliers, we have suppliers, because we've been running eclipse events for a decade, so we have suppliers on three continents, and one of them actually has stock that could get couriered across the continent next day, which we did, and we still sold out, so we ordered more. And on the actual day of the eclipse itself, it was just too much for our volunteers. There was a queue out our door. Our landlord was complaining of the traffic congestion, because we're not really geared up for that kind of interest. And we signed up a deal with Designist, the brilliant gift shop on Georgia Street. You might have seen them on the TV and all over social media, with a two-hour queue out their door. Now, they've got professional staff selling 24 hours a day, but not normal shop hours. Who knew what they were doing? They weren't volunteers, and they were able... They actually sold out. Our shipment supposed to arrive early. It arrived at 11 a.m., a little bit late, and by 3 o'clock, they had sold out of the huge order we'd shipped to them. So it was absolute chaos, and I think Astronomy Ireland sold most of the eclipse glasses in all of Ireland, again, as happened in 1999. Now, a huge boost for the society's finances. It's a fundraiser for us. But, wow, did it put a toll on our volunteers. Thank goodness it hasn't happened for 27 years and there won't be a bigger, deeper eclipse for 60 more.
But, David, tell us about the day itself from your point of view. Tell us about the day, the evening it happened. Tell us what your experience was and who you were with and what was all that about. Tell us all about it.
Well, for me, it started early because we were on TV Ireland AM explaining the eclipse to people, and then local radio stations all around the country, as normal, were doing interviews with me all day long, trying to get people ready as to what to see if you hadn't got your eclipse glasses. And despite us supplying tens of thousands of them, there was still, like your wife said, probably tens or hundreds of thousands of people who did get them. But you could view them, the eclipse, safely with a pinhole projector, which I showed on TV. It's in our magazine as well, how to do it. It's all over the internet. Very simple. Two bits of paper, a sharp pencil, and you're done. And you can watch the progress of the eclipse safely. By the time the afternoon came, then it was time to go watch the eclipse. And I was, as I said, I think you said last week on the show here, I'll be watching the satellite pictures and seeing where the clear skies were. And that was the southeast. So I headed out of Dublin, got stuck in the traffic. We'd been delayed by all the media coverage and couldn't get as far as sort of Wexford or Waterford, but ended up in the Wicklow Mountains near the Sugarloaf. Found a car park. We've been observing up there for a decade, so I know exactly where to go. And there was only a few people there, and set up all the equipment and took some close pictures that would be going into the magazine, and enjoyed the eclipse enormously in almost perfectly clear skies, as from all the people who sent in photos around the country did as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were very lucky at least in a quarter of the country to see it very well. I believe Cork City was clouded, but we got some photos in last night from West Cork, where they actually got a break in the clouds. And this is what I think I said last week, you know, stand outside for 2 hours, anything can happen. And indeed it did.
Yeah.
And those pictures will be going into next issue of magazine as well, from West Cork.
And your glasses that you sent me, they arrived on the day. And wait for this, I was able to give a couple of sets away to a couple of neighbours. And I went to one of my neighbours, and they had a child, he was only... what would it be, 9, and he was absolutely beside himself because he could get them nowhere, and he wanted to see this of all things. I never saw him so excited beside himself. And I went to another of my neighbours, David, and they were doing exactly what you were saying there about the pinhole and making a box, and was doing a pretty good job of it. It looked, because as soon as I saw it, it reminded me of yes, this is what it should look like. But by God, were they just overwhelmed when I arrived with a couple of pairs of glasses for them. And of course, told them about Astronomy Ireland and David Moore and all that. That's where they came from. That's who they need to be thanking for them. But my point is that the interest in this, David, was absolutely phenomenal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about so far the logistics, which we'll talk about, we actually saw in a minute. But just continuing the young people theme, inspiring the future, that's what it's really all about. And, you know, we did approach some commercial companies, I won't name them and shame them, and tell them that we reckon they'd make about £2 million on the day. Not one was interested. They're obviously all making way too much money for their own good. We're a non-profit group. We would have raised a little bit, a fraction of that, but we didn't have the manpower or logistics to do this nationwide. You know, it's not really down to the National Astronomy Society to supply all 8 million people on the island with eclipse glasses. But commercial concerns could do it, but they just didn't express enough interest. So maybe they'll do it in 2090, we'll see. And we could have inspired a whole load more young people to watch the eclipse. But you could still see it with the pinhole camera. That's the important thing that everybody could do. And we put that in the magazine months ago for people to look at. So everyone, at least who gets the magazine, knows all about it. Now for us, the magazine is the focus. If anyone has not sent in their best eclipse photograph, please do so today. We're putting that eclipse souvenir issue together now, and we want your pictures.
Remind them, where do they need to email them to?
Well, the website, astronomy.ie, is all you ever have to remember. The contact page says where to send things to the magazine. If you have other queries, there's other contacts for that kind of thing, but you'll definitely see the magazine contact. If you're good at memorizing email addresses, it is actually very simple. magazine@astronomy.ie.
But
if you forget that, just remember astronomy.ie for everything. Join the club, get in the magazine, come into the event. astronomy.ie, contacts page where you'll find out where to contact the magazine. Don't send us all your photos. We've been flooded with them. Just you pick the best one,
yeah,
and then we'll be able, it'll make our job easier. Because again, remember, it's volunteers.
Now, David, for people in the east and southeast, and certainly in Kilkenny and my own in Thomastown and all that, we got a great view of the eclipse. In parts of the west, cloud got in the way. What did the eclipse actually look like from Ireland, and just how much darker and cooler did it become during the maximum?
Yeah, well, we've got to remember this is a partial eclipse for Ireland, albeit a very deep one, 98% in the southwest of the country, 94% of the sun's diameter covered in the northeast of the country. So as it began, I can see it in my mind's eye just watching with the eclipse glasses on, there's a big bite taken out of the right-hand side of the sun and it's growing, and those who had telescopes with special filters on them could see the sunspots. I remember watching one of the sunspots being gobbled up by the moon as the moon's edge over a few seconds slowly crossed the sunspot. It was all great fun. There are pictures like that in the magazine. And then, of course, once it got close to the maximum, a few minutes after 7 for me, I think it was 7:11 was the exact time, it was. I kept looking around from the beginning to just memorize how bright the landscape was. I was in a lovely mountainside location. And at maximum eclipse, it was definitely darker. I held my hand out, stretched my fingers out to cast a shadow on the ground. And at the start of the eclipse, there were very blurry finger shadows. But by the middle eclipse, the thin strip of the sun, they're actually quite sharp. I forgot my colander. Most important thing you need during eclipse is your colander. And with that, with all the little holes punched in it, each one acts as a pinhole camera, and you get all these little crescents on the ground. Well, fortunately, lots of people sent in pictures like that for the magazine. And, you know, it was lovely and warm at the beginning of the eclipse, and got quite cool in the middle of the eclipse, as we expected, mm-hmm. as well as dark, and not that dark yet, but then it warmed up again. I remember, as photographing the end of the eclipse, you know, feeling the heat. I was wearing dark trousers, and you could feel the sun warming them up, which hadn't happened during the eclipse. And another thing I did that we didn't really warn people about was the planet Venus is an evening sky, so that means it's to the left of the sun. So I looked for it, and in daylight it's very hard to see, but with the sun eclipse, it's actually quite easy. There was a couple of people there, and I said to them, oh, there's Venus. And I thought I'd have to point it out very carefully. And they just said, oh, yeah, they could see it immediately like that. And I had a pair of binoculars. Another thing I didn't think to do, but I know a total eclipse people in Spain would have done this, is a Jupiter was to the lower right of the sun, so below the sun, really hard to see it, very close. But I was able to see it in the binoculars, just practically impossible during normal daylight time. So that was two tricks I did that surprised me.
Now, and David, I remember back, now I remember exactly where it was in 1999. Was it in August of 1999, the one at that time? Was it August? Yeah. Okay, so in 1999...
It's really easy to remember.
Yeah,
I was... It was 11 minutes past 11 on August the 11th, 1999.
Now, and I know where I was because I was in Weston-super-Mare in the south of England for that. And I do have to say, while it did get dark here for the one here, it was darker on that. It was it reminded me years later when I saw the Harry Potter films where the skies went dark when those monsters ever in where the just the whole darkness gone. It was much darker in 1999 from Weston-super-Mare was anyway. But I'd imagine it's not surprising being in the south of England there at that time.
Yeah, because they had a total eclipse that time in Cornwall. So most of Cornwall was clouded out, unfortunately for them. But we actually had a trip to Bulgaria where it was crystal clear, I'm glad to say, and the group got a fantastic sight of it. I've been lucky to see two total eclipses. And if we want to talk about totality, because there was an Irish link, even though it only happened over Spain, Iceland and Greenland, and that is, a lot of people went to Spain. And they've already sent us photographs of totality. In fact, Anthony Lynch, who some people might know as well, well-known Irish astrophotographer, he went to Spain to cover this one. I decided not to go this time, to stay here and experience a really deep eclipse in Ireland, but also there's a much longer eclipse next year that we're planning a society trip to that people can come on with us. But he got fantastic footage of it, and I'm glad to say, I think we might mention the Starbucks in a minute, but he's going to be the key speaker at Starbucks showing his total eclipse footage.
Okay.
And what it was like, you know, we talked about this last week, but what it is like to see a total eclipse, totally different to the great experience we had last week.
Now, before we go to an ad break, there were a lot of reporting suggesting that this was Ireland's last solar eclipse until 2090. That wasn't actually true, was it? Because when people in Ireland, when can people in Ireland expect to see the next partial solar eclipse, and how many more will we actually get to see before?
There are over 30 partial eclipses of the sun visible between now and 2090. The next one is only 12 months away. Actually, bank holiday Monday, August the 2nd, next year, around 10 a.m. in the morning. Now, who gets up at 10 a.m. on a bank holiday Monday? Hopefully the entire country will, is the answer, and they'll get to see another eclipse then.
And what percentage are you talking about there? Do we know yet?
It'll vary from Donegal, I think, is 30%, down to the south of the island is over 40%. So it won't get as dark or as cold this time, but nearly half the sun gone is still something.
Absolutely.
Your pinhole camera and eclipse glasses, so keep them safe.
Okay, we'll do that now. We're going to an ad break and we'll be back after these, so hang in there, David, for the moment. And you're very welcome back to the programme, and we have David Moore from Astronomy Ireland here with us for our weekly update. David, the eclipse rather stole the headlines, but the Perseid, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, meteor shower peaked just a few hours afterwards. You managed to see around 20 seconds despite broken cloud.
Yeah, the best meteor shower of the year. We got an incredible photograph in from Nicholas Folkart, who is down in Willow. Crystal clear skies. Wait till you see this one in the magazine. If it weren't for the eclipse, it would be the front cover picture on Astronomy Ireland magazine. So we don't need to say much more than that. Another big meteor shower coming in December. Details will be in the future issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine. And if people haven't gotten the magazine by now, there is no hope for them. There's so much going on.
Okay, and we'll remind people how to get that a little later on. Now, David, the Blood Moon, because we have another spectacular event coming very soon, a lunar eclipse on the 28th. We'll talk about the 28th first. Just the lunar eclipse first.
Yeah, for me, lunar eclipses are better than partial solar eclipses, not total solar eclipses. We won't have a total solar eclipse in Ireland until 2090, and they had one in Spain. But we saw a partial one, and they're very nice and quite interesting. We talked about them at great length. But a blood moon eclipse, which we're going to get on the morning of the 28th of August. It's in Astronomy Ireland magazine for over a month now. People have been reading about it. Don't miss this one. The moon will almost be totally eclipsed. So the bit that's deep in the Earth's shadow will be blood red, this incredible color. You don't need eclipse glasses for it. Perfectly viewable with the naked eye. All the details are in Astronomy Ireland magazine, have been for weeks. So, you know, join the club. The moment you join, you're instantly emailed what to see in the sky, including the eclipses, and then the magazine appears, the paper, in the post a few days later. So, you know, this is, in my opinion, the best eclipse of this month.
Absolutely.
Not the one last week, and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah. Now, where should people look, and have we a time on the 28th? Where should people be looking, and what time?
Well, it's the full moon being eclipsed. So before the eclipse begins, there's going to be a full moon. You'll definitely find the full moon in the sky. And as it goes down in the west, it'll start to move into the Earth's shadow. A bite will get taken out of the moon. That will grow until the entire moon is almost eclipsed. Only the top bit of it just manages to stay outside the Earth's shadow, which will make this an even more spectacular lunar eclipse than normal, I think. Certainly one I'll be photographing all night long again as well.
Now, there's another fascinating sight coming up this Thursday, David, with the giant star Antares appearing close to the moon. Tell us more.
Yeah, normally this would be good enough to cover it during the week, but with all the eclipses and meteor showers, it almost seems like a minor event, but it isn't. If you're watching the moon on Thursday night, just above it, and a little bit to the right, there's a diagram, again, the Astronomy Ireland magazine. You'll plainly see a star with the naked eye. I mean, if you hold your fist out at arm's length, it'll be half your fist width or less away from the moon. So easy to see. Antares, one of the brightest stars in the sky. It'll all be happening low in the south. But the star itself is incredible. It's a supergiant red star at the end of its life. It's so big that it would, if it was where the sun is, we'd be inside it and Mars, 1.5 times further out than we are from the Sun, it would be inside Antares as well. So it's a giant star at the end of its life. It lived its life very quickly, much faster than the Sun.
Okay.
And it's coming to the end. You know, it's 550 light years away. So as you're watching, remember, the light you're seeing is 550 years old.
And briefly, is it true that we put, if we put Antares where our Sun is, both Earth and Mars would actually be inside the star?
Yeah, it would reach out all the way to the asteroid belt, in fact.
Okay. Now, David, we're going back to the Moon, and you're also holding a public lecture tonight called We're Going Back to the Moon, Apollo to Artemis. Tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, in April this year, when the astronauts flew around the far side of the Moon, breaking all the records, that was really the herald of a new dawn for human space exploration. I mean, we stand on the threshold of getting out in space permanently this time, once and for all. The Apollo moonshots were a bit of an anomaly. They were a political race, heavily funded, 5% of the American federal budget. You wouldn't get that kind of money now for space. But they beat the Russians in the end, or the Soviets technically, in 1969 with Neil Armstrong. We've talked about him before, the famous Irishman. And now, it's taken all this time to get back to the Moon, but the new director, boss NASA, Jared Isaacman, the billionaire, who's also been an astronaut, paid for it himself, he has really put the pedal to the metal on NASA to accelerate them getting to the Moon. So he's doing twice monthly reviews of how they're doing. They're sending out contracts to all of industry. This will all be in the lecture this evening, online, anyone can watch. And, you know, at the end, next year we'll have another test with Artemis 3. And at the end of 2028, it's boots on the Moon again. First time since 1969. But they stay there. Then we build a moon base. Then we go to Mars. 2026 will be seen as the year when the human race set out for the stars. And that's all in the lecture tonight. I think it's very exciting. It's a little known story. The media haven't really pushed it, but this is the big history of the 21st century. So do try and tune into the lecture tonight.
Now, David, the Star Barbecue. You've also got the Astronomy Ireland.
Oh, by the way,
that's coming on September the 4th, is it?
September the 5th, Saturday night. The same night Katie Taylor is fighting in Dublin.
Okay.
You didn't get tickets for her. Don't worry. There's a better event in town. You can go up the Wicklow Mountains and watch all the wonders of the universe in giant telescope and hear Anthony Lynch talk all about his total eclipse experience, which will set you up nicely for when we're running the eclipse trip next year, which we hope everyone's going to come on. So all the details are on astronomy.ie. The lecture tonight you can get tickets for. The Starbecue, by the way, it's a special offer until the end of this week. Kids can get all the food and all the talks, all the telescopes, €30, and it's a fundraiser for Astronomy on. So don't miss the start.
And tell them where it is. Whereabouts is it in Wicklow?
We hire out the GA grounds in Roundwood, one of the highest villages in Ireland, in County Wicklow, where you can see the Milky Way overhead with the naked eye, and you can imagine what you can see, telescopes thousands of times more powerful than your eyes. Star clusters, galaxies, all live. The planet Saturn, with its rings and 239 moons, will be the main target of the evening.
Okay.
Anthony's talk will be brilliant. There'll be other talks as well. Stands, rocket launches. Great fun for all the kids. I would say bring every single person you know. We'll feed them and we will blow their minds or your money back.
And I can attest to that because I've been there and it's absolutely brilliant, folks. Absolutely brilliant. Listen, we've got to leave it there. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. As always, it's been fascinating. And if today's conversation has whetted your appetite for the night sky, make sure you keep an eye on Astronomy Ireland for the latest information on eclipses, meteor showers, planets, and everything happening above us. And don't forget that Astronomy Ireland's public lecture tonight, We're Going Back to the Moon, Apollo to Artemis, takes place this very evening at 7 p.m. Astronomy.ie to get your tickets there. David, thanks again for joining us here on Community Radio Kilkenny City, Ireland's home of community radio, and as far as we know, the only Irish station with a regular astronomy slot. We'll see you again soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks, David. Okay, that brings